Hey, Rob, would you rather be slightly too hot or slightly too cold for the rest of your
Oh
life?
my God. I definitely slightly too cold. I hate being hot.
Yeah, and it
No,
doesn't matter. Like,
wait.
you can't
If
change
I
it. You
go
can't, like,
under.
put on sweaters. You can't go under air conditioning. You're just going to feel the slight temperature adjustment.
So, well, like, if normally I feel like 65 degrees, is it like I feel 63 or 68? Or is it like a bigger contrast than that?
Like, uncomfortable, but not like debilitating.
It's still cold. I'd still rather be cold.
Same. The reason I asked this is because I'm in my attic right now and it's June and I am melting and it's horrible.
Well, you're also allergic to the cold. So do you really want to be too cold and then break out in hives in addition to everything else?
Well, it'll just make me slightly more hideous than I already am, but I feel fine. I mean, there's the slightest
Ah.
chance I'll break out into anaphylactic shock, but like, I'm not too worried about that.
Is that a real possibility with the cold? I know it's an allergy, but like.
They told me it was. I've never felt anything, but they used to make me carry an EpiPen, and then insurance started charging me $80 for an EpiPen. So I was like, I'll take death.
That's insane.
I don't know if it's true. It's just on the off
No, it's
chance they don't want
insane
to be
that
liable.
you don't want to pay $80 a year for an EpiPen.
I'm talking to the wrong person, though. This is the person who's afraid of peanut butter for no reason.
I used to love peanut butter too. Just one day I was like, wait, what if I'm allergic? Stop, cold turkey.
He knows he's not allergic. It's just part of his story arc now.
Whatever, man.
Welcome to S Class, the highest tier in podcasting. With me is the hottest man under the sun. It's Robert.
I thought you were going to go the coolest guy, not the hot angle.
Well, I'm definitely not the hot one, so I guess I'll be the cool guy, your host, Justin.
I'd rather be cool than hot. I mean, like, in terms of the adjective, not the feeling.
Robert, why don't we talk a little bit about some anime and manga? It's been a while since we've done this.
Has been a while since we've done one of these.
Let's start off with some Shonen Jump stuff. We'll start off with some of the new stuff and then talk about one ongoing series which we have thoughts about.
Strong thoughts.
I think they're going. Let's save it. We'll be there in about 5 minutes. Start us off with Do Retry. This is the boxing manga.
Do retry, more like dog shit. This is
You
one of the worst
were.
things I've ever read. I thought the first chapter was okay, and then it just got I dropped it at this point. I got three or four chapters in, and it's garbage. It's absolute trash.
Because we were texting about this a few weeks ago, and I was like, that thing is so ugly. And I read Hajime no Ippo, and that shit is also ugly. And I was like, I can't get into that. And you were sort of excited. What was it that brought you in, and what cut you off?
I thought it was going to be a little more serious. I like that it was like this post-World War II era boxing series. Like, and it's a sports series set in a period that, you don't typically have a sports series. I thought that was interesting. And then it's just like, it's just stupid. It's just, they introduce a guy with like a massive, massive arm. And like, they just, everybody has like stupid superpowers. And it's just dumb. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit the setting. It doesn't fit like the emotional feel of him like fighting for his dying sister in this basically post-apocalyptic Japan, and it's just dumb. It wants to be serious and also just do this absolutely bonkers dumb garbage. It's such a terrible series. I don't even know how it was greenlit.
Do you think it will make it past the 20 chapter Nine Dragons Ball Parade benchmark?
I don't think it's
That's
going to make it past 15 chapters. It's that bad.
a strong bet right there. You do mention a man with a big arm in Hajime no Ippo. There is a very minor opponent one of the main characters has to fight, and they call him the coconut puncher because he doesn't actually know how to box that well, but he just gets one of his arms really jacked. That way he could just knock people out like he's punching you with a coconut. It's
But it's
very
a little more
serious.
grounded, though, isn't
It's 100% grounded. It's like this guy doesn't know how to fight, so he's gonna get one arm just strong enough to knock you out. But they take the fight. It's a gag fight, but it's supposed to be realistic, I suppose.
Right, but that's fine in a series with 1,200 chapters,
1400
This.
almost, I think,
Oh
but
my
it's fine.
God. This doesn't work. Do retry is absolute trash.
I'm glad I did not start it then. The next one on the list is Tenmaku Cinema, which is the Shokugeki no Soma's author or illustrator's new collaboration, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
I don't give a shit about this series. I read four chapters and I was like, this is so
Yeah,
boring.
I don't care about. It's weird because Akane Banashi is about Rakugo. And Rakugo is obviously something I know nothing about and didn't particularly care about before reading it. And then I really ended up liking it. This is about cinema, which is also something I really don't care about, filmmaking, any of that. And I still don't care.
I think the characters are not interesting. Like, I think Akane kicks ass. And this is coming from someone who dropped the series. But I think that main character boy is just super boring. And then the ghost is also quite boring.
Yeah, you have a ghost and he's like kind of bland. I mean, he's the most eccentric character in the series, but even he doesn't have a lot of presence somehow.
And there's like the slight mystery of how come this ghost director guy isn't known anywhere, but the story is so well written. And it's like, I also don't care about that. Like, what are you going to reveal that makes me so blown away?
Right. It's obviously leading to something, but do we care what it's leading to? But the thing is, I do love the art. They really are great artists, whichever one of the pairing is the artist. I think they are phenomenal.
I think he's fine. I think he's a good artist.
Really? But like, I think they have very good paneling, too.
I think he has good paneling, but like I never open to a spread and be like, whoa, blown away by it. I'm just like, oh, yeah, it's solid. Like, I have no.
You never read Shokugeki no Soma and you weren't blown away by a spread?
Well, that's for different reasons, Rob. I also watched Soma instead of reading it, so that probably is a contributing factor. But also,
that's
like, ecchi aside, like, doesn't do too much for me, unfortunately.
I can't put that aside, though.
Is there any ecchi in this? I feel like there's like a couple scenes with main girl.
Yeah, but not really.
It goes from this over the top style that we're used to back to like pretty tame. So you're kind of losing the appeal that we came here for.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest weaknesses of this series is that they have their names attached to it. So the expectation going in is something different.
Yeah. Are you still keeping up with this one or have you dropped this one as well?
I am still keeping up with it. And I actually did like today's chapter. It had very Soma-esque feels and it introduced a few characters with really good character designs. But the problem is I'm really only reading it for the character designs, not necessarily the plot.
There's a lot of text in there. Like, that's why I dropped it a few weeks ago, because I was like, I'm not invested in this story enough to actually get through all the text bubbles.
Which is completely fair.
Is there a girl who runs around with dinosaur arms that says, Isoide!
Isoide! No, there isn't, and that's why I'm not enjoying it. I need a Megumi.
This one isn't going to go very far in our anime of the year, I don't think.
I mean, I'm going to keep reading it. We'll see if it picks up.
Let me know. And this brings us into the third series that we're reading, which is Kill Blue. And it's surprisingly good.
I love Kill Blue. Kill Blue is so stupid, but like it knows it's stupid and it plays it well. I really am enjoying this.
I enjoy every chapter. It's not amazing or anything, but it's like very fun and enjoyable. It's Sakamoto Days combined with Detective Conan, essentially.
The only thing that bothers me is that you have the guy referring to himself as an old man when he was 39, before getting turned into a child.
That one just hits too close to home for you.
It does. I'm like, guy, like you're 39. You're not on death's door.
But he's probably been on death's door many times, so maybe it makes sense.
Being an assassin, yes, I get it. It's fun. It's a fun series.
I thought today's chapter was excellent.
Like the kid with the pacifier.
What a freak.
Like, he's like, I have anxiety disorder. I need the pacifier to help comfort me.
He's like the hottest, sexiest dude who's also an assassin. And he has the pacifier. I'm just like, they got me.
Was there an Aflac joke in there? Did you see
that? Was there?
Yeah. When he was trying to speak, like he made the sound ah, and then said flack, and they showed like a duck with sensor bars over its eye.
I did not notice that. I gotta reread that. I don't know if that was
just like a localization thing, but it was really funny.
No, I think it's got the fact that they drew in a duck as well. That's funny.
It was funny. It's good. I'm especially impressed because once again, this is a veteran author. He's the one that did Kuroko no Basket, which was not really a humor led series. I mean, I love Kuroko, but that's not really the style it was. And this is funny. I genuinely enjoy this.
Is he the author and the artist?
I believe so. Yeah.
That's impressive to like show that varied range.
And he also had a golf series that ran for 60 chapters in Jump. Oh, it was Robot Laser Beam. It was pretty good. Yeah.
I heard that one's pretty solid, like as far as golf.
Yeah, it was solid. I think the weakness of it was the main character was kind of like Kuroko, where he was kind of like blank and boring. So I think that might have been what hindered it a bit.
I thought the character in Robot X Laserbeam, and this is not to be offensive, but he was sort of like on the spectrum, right? Whereas like Kuroko's just sort of emotionless.
Yeah, I don't know. Either way, they felt similarly characterized to me.
All right, I'm going to keep up with Kill Blue. Out of these three, I think absolutely. I'm dropping the other two. Then let's talk about the latest chapter of Blue Box.
Before we get into it,
I do need to just put out a stat. Most recent popularity poll, Chinitsu Senpai, 74,144 votes to Hina with 33,172 votes. So
robbed. Absolutely robbed.
Yeah. Just say more than 200% of the other.
I mean, she still beat out the main male character, so.
I mean, deservingly so.
Where did Glasses Kun finish?
Top seven or something. I think he did okay.
How?
There's only.
There's not many probably, characters, yeah.
He's probably in there.
Yeah.
But Rob, we are on a lake, 100-some-odd chapters in, and our two main characters have confessed their feelings for each other. How do you feel?
And held hands. Okay. Hottest take I've probably had on this channel. Blue Box has been such a drag and so slow, and yet this felt rushed.
Did you not like it?
I didn't dislike it, but it also felt rushed somehow.
I'm processing.
I enjoyed it. And obviously, they've been working towards this for a while, and we're 2 years into the series, yet it still felt kind of rushed.
You know what it is? Maybe it felt rushed, but it's because we've been in such a lull that like all the stuff building up didn't actually feel like it was building up to this. Like, if you're starting baseline, it's like supposed to keep going up, 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 and then you hit 10. It was like 1, 2, 3, then -5, and then it hits 10. So maybe that's why it feels rushed or out of place.
It's circled for too long. Yes, I think that's the problem. Yeah. It's circled for way too long, and what we thought was another circle actually ended with what we wanted. So now it's like with One Piece where I never believe a character is dead because he always brings them back to life. So now it's like I wasn't ready to believe that this was actually going to happen, and then it did.
I really liked it. I'm not going to lie. I feel like it's like a cheap blow. Like eventually this was going to happen and it was going to make me feel this way, but I thought it was very sweet and it gave me the doki dokis, even if I know it was a cheap shot.
No, I didn't think it was bad. Of all the ways to do it, this was the way to do it. I just wasn't ready for it necessarily or expecting it. So it didn't feel as earned, even though it absolutely was. This is a me problem.
You know what it is? I think maybe this is the first time he's had good writing in such a long time. remember, it wasn't even five chapters ago where they're like, oh, I want to see you. And it's like, oh, she just left. You know, it's like giving you this like bullshit reason. And it's like, oh my God. And like you said, like you keep expecting someone to still be alive after they get killed in One Piece. It's the same thing. And if he had this level of writing for like the last 20 chapters, it would have felt like the natural progression of things.
Exactly.
Now, Rob, as the romance connoisseur of this podcast, what the fuck happens now? I've never gotten to a romance series that they actually get together. Like, that's the whole pursuit.
There's a few different routes they can go down. The most worrisome is that the relationship doesn't work out instantly and, you know, they have some rockiness and they drift away before getting back together. That's the worst case scenario.
I hate that.
Yeah. The best case scenario is that we actually just get to enjoy watching them support each other and work towards their respective goals in their sports. And then there's a third scenario where they don't necessarily take a back seat, but we see the love angles of some of the other characters like Glasses Kun and Manager Chan. And, you know, we start getting a look into the lives of the other characters.
Which of these do you think will happen? Because we obviously both want number two to happen.
My anxiety over how Blue Box has been written is that their relationship will falter a little bit and we'll have to work its way back. But my logical side thinks that they're just going to go the route of exploring other characters as we see Taiki and Kinatsu work towards their goal, but maybe it not being as center as it had been.
I think it's probably more of the former, unfortunately. Like, there's drama's going to kick up because of this. Like, Hina's going to get involved and there's going to be tears and people are going to be upset. And it's not going to just be them going on dates. And my other concern is, like, the author has done such a bad job of building the foundation of their respective individual lives. Like, do you really give a shit about Chinatsu's senpai's basketball or Taiki's badminton? Maybe a tiny bit more for Taiki, but I'm not.
I was
that
about
interested.
To say, yeah. I only care more about Taiki because we've seen, I feel like, more of his matches. But I feel like every time we see anything from Kanatsu in basketball, it's her missing the last shot, and then that's all we saw from a game. And we're just hearing.
I feel like she's always in practice. I don't think she ever actually plays in a tournament.
No.
There's the manga I always recommend to you is Chihaya Furu, which is like a sports romance manga also. And the sport is the primary driver. And then the romance is kind of what connects them because they all play the game together. And when the romance finally does happen, like, I'm not going to tell you, but eventually it does happen. It feels so rewarding and you still want to see the sport. This is like, I don't care enough about the sport, but I don't realistically, they're not just going to go on dates for the next 20 chapters.
Well, the problem is they got too lazy with the sport. If in the like the last feels like 25, 30, 40 chapters, we haven't seen much of sports. So it's kind of forgotten that that's even an aspect of the series.
This scene, these two chapters will undoubtedly bring this up like 30 points in our end of year rankings. But like, I don't think the rest of it is going to deliver.
But they have to maintain it. That's the thing.
I don't.
And that's what that's what we shall see.
That's what we shall see. I wasn't expecting to spend a full 5 minutes on that, but
I know we would.
Okay, great. I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad you.
I did.
Were able
I did
to
like
get
it.
Past everything. Okay.
I just have confusing feelings.
And do you have confusing feelings about Skip and Loafer?
I kind of like it. It's just another rom-com. One of my seasonal rom-coms. It's about this like country bumpkin girl who's actually just like really smart. She wants to be like a government worker and just help society. She gets into a really nice school in Tokyo and, you know, she moves to Tokyo to go to school and she's just like kind of dopey, kind of like bland. And then she meets this guy on her way to school when she's lost, who's like the loafer. He's very laid back, this like good looking blonde guy that everybody loves. And, you know, it's just your basic rom-com shenanigans of her being a go-getter and him being more grounded and, I don't know. It's cute.
It seems like less smutty than your usual.
It's not smut. There has been no smut whatsoever. Like Tomo-chan was full of smut. No, it's okay. It's definitely the subject of my next Chad video, though.
All right. Do you think I would like it or just totally?
No, don't even bother. You're not going to like it. You have no interest in anything like this. Absolutely not.
Okay. Then I'll tell you about something I've watched a little bit of, and it is Chibi Mariko-chan. Have you heard of this?
Excuse me? I feel like I may have, actually. Continue speaking.
If you look it up, yeah, it's like it's one of those like iconic old children's anime. So basically, I was looking up anime to help me practice my Japanese listening, and it said Polar Bear Cafe. I think I've told you the story off the podcast already. And I was like, Rob loves Polar Bear Cafe. I will watch this. This is like the second easiest thing on the list. It was incomprehensible to me. I was like,
because
great.
They do all the puns.
But just like so the like, normal day-to-day speaking was incomprehensible to me.
Right, but it's also like a lot of Japanese wordplay, which obviously you're not going to know, you know, fresh off the bat of trying to learn Japanese.
I didn't even get that far. I was like just having Mama Panda talk to Baby Panda, and I was like, okay, this is too hard. So I was like, what's the easiest thing on the list? And they gave me Chibi Maruko-chan, and you can tell it's for like children's education because in the first like two sentences, she's like, hi, my name is Maruko. I live in this house with my dad and my mom and my grandpa and my older sister. So it's like just listing.
Obasan.
That was not one of the people who she lived with.
Otasan.
No.
Okasan.
Okasan, that's mom. Haha, chichi, you know. It's super cute. It's super silly. I still can't comprehend most of it, but like it's closer to the level of me getting some of the sentences.
Subtitles or not?
Subtitles, but I'm like pausing every couple minutes to write down words I don't know.
That's cool though. I respect that.
It's tough though. I haven't watched that much of it because it's like not that interesting. It's like for 5-year-olds, but it's the level that I need. You know what I'm saying?
So would that be like a Japanese guy watching Dora the Explorer? In English.
To learn Spanish or English?
Oh, wait. That's a bad example. How about Blue's Clues?
Blue's Clues, or yeah. But Blue's Clues Franklin. Is legendary. Franklin's also quite good. Maybe I just don't get it. I mean, it's kind of entertaining. Like, the first chapter, the mom gets, like, a free notebook that has Chicken of the Sea on it, Chicken of the Sea tuna on the front of the notebook with a big fish on it. And apparently, the sister and her both want it so badly, they start fighting over it. And then
the notebook or the tuna?
The notebook that says Chicken of the Sea tuna on the front cover.
Oh, it just happens to say it. There is no tuna.
There is no actual tuna. And then, like, halfway through, like, she goes into her sister's room, writes, like, loser under, like, whose book is this? And then her sister ends up being a good older sister. And is like, I know how much you wanted this. I give it back to you. And then she's like, damn it. it's so stupid. It's, like, very kiddy, but I'm going to try and watch an episode a week or something just to work on my listening skills.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. That's fun.
Rob, you have read a Spider-Man manga.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty good. It was...
Is this Peter Parker Spider-Man or... Japanese
Peter Parker's
Spider-Man.
In it, but it's basically this kid. It's in New York. I think the kid's supposed to be Japanese, though. He finds, like, Spider-Man's suit in an alley because Spider-Man has been taken over by Venom. Peter Parker, Spider-Man. And he puts on the suit to, like, just mess around and then ends up saving and helping people, even though he's, like, kind of a loser. I don't know. It's a very simple Spider-Man story, but the art was really cool. It's cool seeing, like, Spider-Man villains and stuff in manga art style. It was a one volume thing. It was good. It was like 14 chapters. Real thick boy.
This is like a Barnes and Noble pickup?
Yeah, I was at Barnes and Noble with the baby. We're just, you know, killing some time during the day. They had a little little reading for little kids. So we were there and I got her a book and it got me a book. And I ended up really liking it.
It's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. It's as basic of a Spider-Man story as you can get, or like, you know, a comic book story. But it's cool seeing that in manga style.
Very cool. Before I get into the next one, do you ever feel like you've been in a anime and manga rut where you're just like, man, am I getting too old for this?
Nah, I mean, sometimes, but I think that's more of like the season. Like last season, the winter season, I watched a ton, and I really liked a lot of what I watched. And this season... The spring season, I've really only been watching Skip and Loafer and Mashal. Mashal's not really new content. So it's like, right. You know, I really do feel like I'm not like engaged with too much this season. So it feels like I'm in a little bit of a slump. But I wouldn't say outright like feeling like I'm too old for it. It's more so just like, is there really anything out there for me right now? Not really.
That's like a better mindset. I think for me, I've gone through the slump a couple of times. I remember a few years ago, right before Chainsaw Man came out, I was like tired of One Piece. I think we were in Wano for a few years already. Naruto and Bleach were over. Like I had nothing really keeping me going. And I was like, is it time that I retire from anime and manga? Like I didn't want to because I love this stuff. Then I read Chainsaw Man. I was like, oh, shoot, I really like this. And I feel like I was kind of going through the slump again. Like I've been watching a lot of real TV. Like I was watching Suits a lot the last couple of weeks. And
what?
Like
sub or dub?
Japanese dub, English sub.
I mean, from your standpoint, though, you don't really watch sports. So I always have that as like American thing that I'm watching. Like, I don't really watch too much TV to begin with, because if I'm watching anything that isn't anime for 20 minutes, I'm watching, you know, I'm just throwing the mech game on in the background. It's low commitment.
I mean, I've been watching the NBA finals and watching Suits, and I'm like, man, I'm such a like an American right now. I feel like a bro. I hate this, but I was like, that's what I was doing to enjoy myself. And I was like, man, am I in a, and I remember last season I was trying to watch like Buddy Daddies and Trigun Stampede and all these other things that like hypothetically I would have eaten that shit up like 10 years ago and I should like it now, but I'm just like clicking through like, man, when's this episode going to be over? It's only 20 minutes.
I mean,
long.
I'm more of a reader as it is, so like I'm consuming this type of content through manga, which is just more consumable and easier for me to, you know, engage with right now. So, my thought is always like, you're never really too old for anything. If you're not enjoying something at the moment, you know, that's fine. It doesn't change what you did like or do like, or what will you will like. Like just in the moment, there's really nothing catching your eye and that's fine.
Yeah. And I think it's good to sort of like not set anything so dogmatic, but it just felt like I was in a slump after trying so many different things. And I tried Mashal for an episode and I was like, yeah, it's funny, but like, I'm not so engaged with it. But then last night I watched Hell's Paradise and I was,
oh, it's good.
Again. I really,
oh, there we
it.
Go.
And I was like, it's back, baby.
All right.
That was all to say.
You got your mojo back.
I got my mojo back. I'm back. I don't know if you like this one. I think it's quite well written, but it is pretty gory.
So I read all through Chainsaw Man, which is obviously very gory, and I didn't like it at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Are the things I didn't like about that things I wouldn't like about this?
Well, I think you hate Tatsuki Fujimoto's art, and I think Denji's a fucking moron. Like, those are two huge factors which I can respect not liking Chainsaw Man. Like, the gore didn't even play that much of a factor for you, I would say, right?
No, honestly, it didn't. That's why I didn't like it, yeah.
This one, the animation's amazing, and the story just feels like there's a mystery, and you want to follow it and figure out what's going on, and the characters are genuinely solid and intelligent and have their own motivations. Basically, there's this ninja assassin who gets captured, and they're supposed to put him to death, but like they can't fucking kill him because he's such a... He's almost like a superhuman at the point that he's been trained and tortured as a kid. Like, they tried beheading him, and he just makes his neck harder, and it, like, breaks the sword that's trying to kill him. So the Shogun, who's, like, this fat, greedy bastard, is like, I want to find the elixir to life, like, immortality. And I think it's on this magical island. But every time they send people on a voyage to go to this magical island, they come back, like, but they turn into, like, flowers, like they're dead, and there's like flowers growing out of their corpses on the returning boat. So, like, it's really
like creepy. zombified,
exactly. So what the Shogun does is he takes 10 of the most dangerous criminals in Japan and 10 executioners, the people who were supposed to chop off their heads, and he says, you guys all pair up. Like, if these criminals get out of line, the executioners kill them. And he says, you 20 people are going to go to this island and find me the elixir to life. And if any of you find it, then I'll grant you a pardon and you'll get your freedom back.
Hmm. That's an interesting premise.
Yeah. So the premise is pretty interesting. And I'm like 3 episodes in. I think all either 10 episodes are out or the whole season's totally out at this point. So I'm going
to
keep up with this one. All right, I think you should give it an episode or two.
I think I will. All right. You got your groove back, though. I'm happy about that.
I got my groove back. What's the movie? something got their groove back.
Are you serious?
That's a thing, right?
I'm not having this conversation with you. Continue.
One last item on the agenda for anime and manga. Have you heard of the series Oshinoko?
Yes.
This is like one of the hottest things of the season.
It's
Do you know
big,
anything?
Big time. This. Yeah, it's about a J-pop star who gets like murdered and something about her children, something like that.
The gynecologist who's delivering her baby gets murdered and gets reborn as one of her children.
Oh, she doesn't get murdered?
I don't think so.
Oh.
So I read this premise like right when the season was beginning. I was like, this isn't for me, but this is like the hottest thing of the season, and it's like consistently ranking number one on most watched. I was like, okay, I'm gonna give this a shot. I was gonna watch it before this recording started today. The first episode is 80 minutes long.
I did see that. I had tried to watch it at some point. I was like, this is too much. Not happening.
I think it's going to happen for me. Like, I was reading the comments and people are like, it didn't even feel like 8 minutes. It happened so fast. I'm crying. Depending on who those people who wrote those comments are, take it with a grain of salt.
Well, yeah.
But all indicators point that it's interesting.
I guess we'll talk about it next time.
We'll talk about it next time. Yeah, I just felt like I needed to see if you've checked this one out yet.
I have heard of it.
Okay, Rob, we haven't been playing too many video games, but why don't you tell us about the game you've completely finished, Zelda and the Tears of the Forgotten Kingdom.
Nope, just Tears of the Kingdom.
There you go.
I got 85 hours out of it in the month that it's been out. Most people will probably end with 120, 140. I think I'm pretty satisfied with it at this point. I liked it. It was fun. It didn't feel like it was different enough from Breath of the Wild to warrant 6 years and a $70 price tag and no other Zelda games being made in that time. Still love the game. Still probably going to be in top 3 games of the year. but was it worth the wait? I'd say no.
It's pretty harsh.
It's not harsh, though. Like, it's a great game. It's a lot of fun. But the fact that Breath of the Wild exists and no other Zelda games have existed since then, and the fact that they're charging $10 more for this game, it, you know, you have to look at it with all those factors. Standing alone, it's a fantastic 10 out of 10 game. I loved it. It was a ton of fun. Very addicting. Great gameplay loop. But I did this 6 years ago. There wasn't enough about it different. And a lot of people said, oh, Hyrule is so different. You don't even recognize it. It's the same exact thing, except there's one additional town. And yes, there are slight changes and variations, but like, I played this game already.
Are you... I mean, obviously, it sounds like you wanted a different game after this long of a wait, or you wanted some intermediary games. Are you glad that you dumped 80 hours into this game? Because it sounds like you had fun, absolutely, even though you wanted a different game.
Absolutely. I loved the game. It was a ton of fun. It's just when you look at the other factors, it wasn't really worth those factors, the trade-off of no other games and all that.
Would you want to do this again? Like a Breath of the Wild 3?
If they made a third one and it took place in Hyrule, I would not get the game. If they made a third one with the same like engine and in a new like land, a new kingdom, then I would get it. But I can't do this exact same Hyrule a third time.
Okay, that's fair enough. I may play this game. I probably won't. It sounds like it'd be fun. I just don't know if I have the commitment to stick with it.
You also didn't like Breath of the Wild that much, so you definitely wouldn't like this. I will say this is a better version of Breath of the Wild, but you still wouldn't, you know.
I liked Breath of the Wild for the world exploring, but I didn't like it for the temples and the shrines, which are supposed to be the highlights of the game, so.
No, I think the exploration was supposed to be the highlight of the game, honestly. Typically in a Zelda game, the dungeons are supposed to be obviously the highlight, but in this case, I don't think that really is the case.
Yeah, but you're like, in order to forward progress and like meet Zelda and fight Ganon, like you have to do all those things. And I didn't even get to do all those things because I never got through all the dungeons, unfortunately.
But you could legit probably, if you just wanted to do like the four dungeons and beat the game, you could probably do that in less than 10 hours.
Maybe, yeah.
But nobody plays the game like that.
It's not worth it. It's not about beating the game. It's about the enjoying the
exactly
experience.
The journey is the destination.
Well, you know what isn't the destination? Yu-Gi-Oh! Master Duel. That game's toxic as fuck.
Oh, God, you're still playing that?
No, I quit. This has been on the docket for a couple months. I was, like, laying in bed playing it on my Switch for, like, 3 hours at a time until my Switch was dying. And then I switched over to my laptop and was playing even more of it. And it's horrible. I mean, it's great.
Yeah, it's like, toxic. Really toxic.
It's so toxic. It's like my Pokemon Unite of 3 years ago. And it's super fun. Like, it helps you learn the mechanics of the game better. But... So there's like tier limits, which we haven't played against, luckily. But like in the game,
as soon as
tier limits comes into the game, I just give up because their turn's going to be 25 minutes.
It's not even worth dueling. Yeah.
And I know I'm going to lose. I was rocking like a Cyber Dragons deck and I was feeling pretty good whenever I was beating up on some noobs. But like it was horrible whenever you fight against someone so broken.
Sweaty.
There's this one combo I do need to talk about. And it was... This guy went for about 15, 20 minutes. First turn. I didn't get to go yet. And he killed me on his first turn.
I didn't even know that was possible.
I didn't think it was possible. And I conferred with our friend Rich. What they did was they summoned a 8,000 attack point monster onto my side of the field. And they did something to kill that monster that causes damage to me indirectly.
That's so unfair. But that's not fun. You're not even playing a game at that point.
That shouldn't even be possible. That's literally broken. Yeah. It was so nauseating.
That's why I call modern Yu-Gi-Oh! Solitaire.
It's horrible. It really... We've reached the Cold War arms race where we all have nuclear bombs and whoever gets to go first is going to win the fight.
Yep. And then that's it. Well, and nobody wins, though, because nobody got to play and the losers just bought hurt that they didn't even get to play and it's just like, this is stupid and pointless. I don't want to play anymore. And then nobody wins.
The statement you just said about Zelda where like the journey is the destination, I know you're like kind of joking and being corny. It's kind of the complete opposite for Yu-Gi-Oh! Master Duel, where it's like the destination is the journey. Like all you care about is winning and you stop caring about playing the game, which is horrible.
Right. And that's at that point, it's no longer fun. Then you're just using the exact same deck.
Yeah. I might play a little bit more, but right now it's off of my computer. I am tired for now.
Cold turkey.
I'm clean for now. Hopefully I don't relapse. And fun fact, after you left the barbecue a few weeks ago, Rich told us that he's ranked like 507th in all of United States.
That's insane.
Isn't that crazy?
With what kind of deck?
The Fallen of Albaz with maybe a couple tier limits and stuff. He's like, it's the sweatiest thing he's ever created.
Miserable. I think that affects our friendship, too.
I said, are you going to bring this to life? This is the kind of guy Rich is. He's so kind and generous. He said, I cannot bring this to life. This must stay within the confines of the game.
He would ruin everyone.
Oh, my goodness. That was terrifying when he told me that. And there's going to be a world tournament soon. So we're going to do a live viewing of his world tournament.
That sounds awesome.
If he makes it that far, we'll see. The greatest sporting event of the year.
Oh, absolutely. Tops the Super Bowl.
Rob, do you know what time it is?
Is it time for Big News Morgan's breaking news?
It's time for Big News Morgan's breaking news.
Do, 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 do. What do you got for us today, Justin?
I have a lot of items on here, and some of them we can possibly speed through if you have no interest. Number one, Chris Pratt assures fans that news on Super Mario Brothers movie 2 is coming soon.
That was the least needed thing that has ever been said. The movie is the second highest grossing animated movie of all time. Of course, there's a sequel. Next thing.
Yeah, we have a podcast hopefully coming soon where we express our true feelings about Super Mario Brothers, the movie. Next thing. I don't know if you care about this. Sonic Superstars coming to Nintendo Switch this fall.
I saw the trailer for it. I'll probably play it. I like classic Sonic. I don't really love the art style, and the company behind it has made some really terrible games. So this is definitely a wait for reviews to see if it's good or not.
I'm not a big Sega Sonic guy, like just like rolling around in 2D trying to find all the rings. Was that your jam back in the day?
I actually, very strange. I first played Sonic, Sonic 2, Sonic 3, and Knuckles on the Xbox 360. Unlike the arcade, like download, yeah. And I loved it. So that was, I mean, even at this point, that was like 15 years ago. Sonic Mania is one of the best games I've ever played, like 2D platformers for sure. So I do like 2D Sonic. I've played, you know, all of them.
Okay. I've never been a Sonic guy, so like, I don't think this one will interest me. Like, unless it's 3Ds and they got that banging soundtrack, then I'm probably not in for Sonic.
Nah, this isn't for you, for sure.
This one might be for me, and that is, there's rumors that they're currently remaking Final Fantasy IX, and also 10 might follow, similar to what they've done for 7.
But aren't they not even finished with 7?
Well, they finished the first game for 7 a few years ago.
Right, but isn't it going to be like 3 parts or something?
Probably, as much money as they can squeeze out of you.
Right.
They're all rumors, so like realistically, if these come out, they're not going to come out for the next 5 to 10 years, yeah, is what I imagine.
Say. Yeah, 3 or 4 years at least before you even hear anything.
I think 9, which I haven't played yet, is probably makes sense to do. But 10 was on PS2, which had pretty good graphics and voice acting and everything. What are your thoughts on like just remaking things in general that were pretty recent? I don't want to say recent, but modern-ish technology.
I mean, the big one is like they remade The Last of Us, which came out on the PlayStation 3 or even maybe the PS4. And it was one of those things where like, my untrained eye, I don't really pick up too much on graphics. I couldn't tell which was the new one and which was the old original one. And it gets to a point where like, you're not real, you're just putting a new coat of paint on it, calling it a remaster, selling it for $70. And like, it didn't really need to be done.
That's how I kind of feel about Final Fantasy X, because I do love that game, but I'm like, I already know all the mystery and the story beats to this. Do I want to play the same loop again and get the same power-ups? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And maybe for some people, that's like exactly what they want in high res. But for me, I don't know if that's something I would pick up.
And it's hard to say, because I mean, HeartGold and SoulSilver, remakes of my favorite Pokemon games, Gold and Silver, were my favorite games of all time. Like HeartGold and SoulSilver are probably my top 3 games of all time. But then on the other hand, they recently remade Diamond and Pearl, and those remakes may have been the absolute worst video games I've ever played.
I think, though, the DS compared to the Game Boy Color is literally like a fucking Maserati compared to like the Model T, versus like Diamond and Pearl came out on the DS compared to, what were you on, the Switch or the 3DS?
It's on the Nintendo Switch. It should have been a much better looking game.
I'm just saying that the DS was like a pretty good system, whereas like Game Boy Color was like,
right, but you're going from a
time, but
you're going from a handheld game onto a home console. You're going from the DS to the Switch, and the game is worse. That's a problem. Like, that's what I'm saying.
That
like,
they're getting
lazier with these remakes and stuff like that.
We have two different arguments right now.
Yeah.
What you're saying is totally true. That's terrible. You should never get worse when you remake something. And my argument is that the generational gap between the systems is just not nearly as drastic enough to need a remake sometimes.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay, we got two more. Pokemon TCG live app launches worldwide. I didn't even know this was a thing.
I assumed it was already a thing.
I didn't think anyone actually played the Pokemon TCG, so that was kind of surprising.
Of course they do, yeah. They actually,
I thought it was just like a collector's item.
I think Pokemon TCG does something interesting with its game that Yu-Gi-Oh! Doesn't, and that's that every 3 years, I think it cycles out older decks and cards. So, like, you're all on a more even playing field, whereas Yu-Gi-Oh! We can all use cards from 30 years ago, and it just ends up getting kind of messy and silly, where I'm like, I want to be able to use this deck, and it's like, well, no, you can't, because modern cards will end it before you even get to play. Whereas Pokemon was like, if I'm playing a Pokemon match, I know I'm going to have a chance because this is what the cards that are available now are.
It's kind of the same, though. I mean, like, you technically can't even use the old cards.
Right.
I just know that they would get squashed if they did.
Right, but...
like, everyone's life HP has gone up drastically. Everyone's attack has gone up drastically.
That's what I'm saying.
So an old Charizard can't even...
You know that going in. So, like, if you want to play the game, you know that that's how you play it. Like... whereas Yu-Gi-Oh! Is like, well, you can bring your old deck, but you'll get murdered. And it's why shouldn't I use the cards that I want to use? I don't know.
So you're putting guardrails so I can guarantee you're not going to get to use the cards that you want to use.
Right, because that now we're all on the same playing field.
At least we're setting expectations is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess. It is sad, though, because it's like those are the cards that are close to my heart. So it's like you don't even get to play with those. So yeah. I don't even want to play the game.
Well, I don't want either. So it's a moot point.
Yeah. Last piece of news is Rascal Does Not Dream of Bunny Girl Senpai has two new movies coming out. One is Rascal Does Not Dream of a Sister Venturing Out, which is coming out this month, June 23rd. And the second one is Rascal Does Not Dream of a Knapsack Kid coming out in the winter.
Yikes. I loved Bunny Girl Senpai when we originally watched it. It's one of those things that I don't really have the desire to go back to. And it's one of those things that I think I enjoyed more when I was younger and a little bit more, you know, whiny and, you know what I mean? Like just that younger,
naive.
Young adult mindset, like early 20s where you're still not really sure of who you are. And it's like, I don't know. Now it just
feels
like
feel that way.
I just mean it in the sense that like now it just feels like it's kind of like a pretentious plot.
I don't know if pretentious is the word versus like immature, right? Compared to what you're dealing with now.
But
is that what you're saying? No,
I watch tons of high school smut rom-coms. It has nothing to do with like immature. It's more so just that it feels like it's taking issues like real, you know, mental issues and like trying to be smart about them. But like when we were younger watching it, I was like, oh, this kind of hits, I get it. But like now, like it's just like, oh, this is kind of stupid. Like you're just trying too hard.
Like when they use like Schrodinger's cat and like quantum physics to explain her multiple personality disorder or something like that.
It's silly.
I think I was super high on the first three episodes and the very last episode of this series. And then like the eight episodes in between were whatever.
Yeah.
And I never saw the follow-up movie because our friend warned us not to.
Yes.
And now they have these. It's been too long. And it's like, I'm kind of tempted to check them out. But at the same time, I have a feeling they're just going to be mediocre.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or not to my taste, maybe.
I'm kind of just over the series, which is fine. I enjoyed it when I watched it. But now at this point, I'm like, okay.
I'll check the trailer out and see if it makes me feel anything inside. And maybe I'll watch it if that's the case. Final thing is it's time for emails. If you have an email you want to send us, you can send us an email to sclasspodcast@gmail.com or leave a comment on one of our videos. The question is, what are your expectations and hopes for the new 2023 Studio Ghibli movie, How Do You Live? And then there's a whole bunch of stuff coming out July 14th. That's really soon. Do you have any thoughts? You're more in the Ghibli world than I am.
There's nothing about this movie that is known other than its name and one poster. That's it. And they're not going to do any trailer. They're not going to do any marketing. This movie is literally just going to come out and that's it, which is insane to me. Like, can you imagine Disney doing that? Like saying like, we have this brand new movie. What might be the last of one of our major studios? Like, let's just say Pixar. Like, this is going to be the last Pixar movie. We're not doing any trailer. The poster is going to be unclear what it's even about. And here's a very, very like name that doesn't tell us anything.
Yeah, it's a very bold move. I don't think it's a smart move because I haven't heard of this movie, to be honest.
Right. And I don't know.
Yeah, no commercials, no nothing. Like,
they're not going to be. That's the thing. There's no, but
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like,
even if you're in the zeitgeist, you don't know anything about it. That's the thing. There's nothing to know.
There's not even like temptation of mystery here because it's like, oh, I didn't know this existed.
My concern, like all that aside, is that in this day and age, the movie's not going to release, you know, stateside probably for quite a few months after. I really don't want to get spoiled on this. And quite frankly, I'd like to go in knowing nothing but the name too. But I don't think that's going to be possible.
I mean, it's possible. They'll probably have like a 1 week screening or something like that in America, hopefully. And maybe we can see it in person.
Oh, I'd love to, but it's going to be 6 months after it comes out in Japan. I feel like at that point, obviously online on YouTube, it's going to get spoiled for me, like in a thumbnail or something.
That's fair. Apparently, I don't know if you want to know this, the emailer included a few things about that, or would you prefer not to know?
I mean, whatever they, I doubt they could possibly know much, so.
It's not much. It's just that Miyazaki's coming out of retirement as a gift to his grandson for this movie.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that.
And it's based off of his favorite childhood book, How Do You Live, by Genzaburo Yoshino from 1937.
So I've actually read that it's not based on the book. It's that Miyazaki had been reading the book, and the name of the book itself just inspired him. He thought that was just like such a poignant, great name, and that's just... That's the only thing that really has a connection. The book content itself has nothing to do with the movie. It's the name that he just loved.
I do like the name. It's very existential.
It's a fantastic name, especially for his last movie. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it could be like a memoir of sorts, like a metaphorical memoir for him.
Yeah.
I'm anxious about it, maybe is the word, or anticipative, if that's a word.
I think anxious is a very fair word, especially with such little knowledge and just, you know, the anticipation as well. Yeah, I think anxious is definitely a proper word to use for this. But I'm also excited. I can't wait till we get to see it in theaters.
Yeah, I hope it comes out. I know a guy who might be able to bring this one over. I know the guy who I told you who does G-Kids films.
Maybe
inside scoop for us. I'll give him a chat. And
you're going to get him on the show?
He knows anything about this. We got to get him on the show. I gotta work my charisma with him a little bit more. Get to know him a little bit better.
That's not going to work.
No, we're screwed. We're never going to meet him.
Well, it was exciting for a second.
Robert, that's everything we have on our docket today. Is there anything you'd like to leave our viewers off with?
I mean, no. I was hoping we could leave them with an exciting interview with the G-Kids guy, but that just doesn't seem like it's happening. So there goes that.
Well, thank you so much for watching our video, as always. Keep your expectations low, and we might be able to deliver them. Thanks, guys.